Hello. This podcast is just going to be some exam taking techniques advice in preparation for the midterm that will be on Monday for Section 3B, which is you guys. And since we won't have time in class to go over that much, I wanted to make sure that I've done giving you some advice for how to take any exam. The things I say about a midterm, they're going to apply to any exam, not necessarily the topic. For the midterm, all we're talking about is negligence. I'm recording this on Tuesday. We may on Wednesday night finish negligence. We've got Paul's Graf and the Kinsman line of cases. We may start talking about defenses, but they're not on the exam. And I say this on the cover sheet. I say this. Don't talk about defenses. Defenses means don't talk about anything that the defendant can bring up, say the plaintiff's own conduct, any of that. It's not on the test. You're wasting your time if you talk about it. I'm going to get my red pen out and X it out if you do. So all we're concerned about is the main cause of action for negligence, not anything on defenses. So don't give me anything about any, you know, negligent behavior of the plaintiff. It's not in the test. It's not appropriate to talk about it. Don't waste your time. You won't get extra points talking about this kind of stuff. So, you know, can I make this any clearer? I don't know, but don't do it. All we've talked about is negligence, duty, breach, causation, proximate cause. That's all I expect you to discuss in this exam. The final will be different. The final will include everything. So here, you know, and I was really quite astonished at the number of people who insisted upon in the small quizzes going off and talking about things that I said don't talk about. We hadn't even discussed them, weren't part of the test. You know, nonetheless, people just couldn't help themselves. This is a bad test-taking technique. All we're talking about here now is our basic cause of action for negligence. Duty, breach, cause in fact, proximate cause. Nothing else. Okay? So anyway, the test-taking techniques, now that this test is going to be an hour, as I said, there are four questions to be answered, four parts to it. You have an hour to do this. So if you break it down, remember our quizzes were 10 minutes, 20 minutes, you break it down, it's really sort of 15 minutes per question. I recommend that you spend at least one third of your time, 20 minutes, going around just reading and outlining. Don't start writing it. You know, read, outline. You need to know where you're going to end up before you start writing things. You need to know where you're going to end up before you start writing. So organize your time accordingly. You know, if you spend 15 or 20 minutes reading, thinking, outlining, you can spend 10 minutes or so writing each one of the parts. It's your time has to be used wisely. My tests are always fact-intensive, lots of stuff going on, lots of issues, issue spotting, spot the appropriate issue, spend your time writing on it. Don't waste time on things that aren't issues. So that's where your judgment comes in. And I know on the quizzes I wrote a lot, and on the quiz explanation, use your judgment. I'm looking to you now to exercise your judgment on issues that are important. Issues that are important. Not everything deserves a big song and dance. A lot of times you'll see that I'll say, you can get this out of the way quickly. you can get something out of the way. If it's not an issue, there's not a problem with it, state that, get it out of the way in a sentence. Spend your time talking about the things that are difficult issues. And there are difficult issues here. You're going to be given an unfamiliar fact situation that may have a lot of things that can't be resolved quickly, a lot of gray areas. You have to acknowledge those ambiguities, those gray areas, the things that are difficult. Acknowledge it and tell me how you would best resolve it. Give me your tell me your judgment, tell me your knowledge in your answer. Acknowledge the things have difficult answers to them. So your judgment is conveyed in your answer. Your understanding, your knowledge is conveyed in your answer. You don't get a second chance to come into my office and say, well, what I meant by when I said this was this. If you mean something, you have to say it. The only way I know what you know is if you say it. So, you know, your answer, what you write is how I know what you know. Don't just latch on, you know, don't oversimplify. A lot of people just want to oversimplify. They'll latch onto something and then just because it's similar to some case that we talked about or it's similar to the facts of some case. These are very difficult issues that you have to work your way through. So latching onto something and oversimplifying, it does not tell me that you can see the complexities of a case. So your answer communicates what you know. Explain your thought process. Explain your conclusions. Explain your statements. Otherwise, they're just conclusions or statements that are meaningless. I don't know how you reached them. I don't know how you got there. You should always use, if you make a statement, it should always be followed by the word because, and then satisfied by the facts that are given to you in the fact situation. A common problem is to just ignore facts that are given to you. Every fact is important. It has some relevance to an issue, to your analysis. So I don't know how you've reached conclusions unless you explain them in your answer. How do you organize your answer? Well, it's easy. Organize them around the elements of the cause of action for negligence. That's all we've talked about. You have to go through each one of the elements. Sometimes duty's not an issue. But don't tell me A has a duty of reasonable care to B, bingo, without saying because A is in charge of the school, or B is in charge, you know, give me the reason why you're stating this conclusion. Otherwise, it's just a conclusion, and I won't know how you got there. The most important part of any test is your analysis. That is how the facts that are given to you apply to the relevant law that you're using, the rules. So, for example, and I always say use, you know, IRAC. That doesn't mean you like, write the, here's the issue, bingo. Here's the rule, bingo. Here's the application. That's a very awkward way. Integrate IRAC into your answer. So if somebody is suffering a mental breakdown because of some action, and focus on the conduct, focus on who the defendant is. What did they do that you want to say is negligent? Why is there an issue here? Somebody's suffering some mental breakdown. You're going to want to say the issue here is whether so-and-so has a duty to prevent emotional distress the action of emotional distress or whatever to be. Now, if I say the jurisdiction follows Dylan D. Legg or follows something, use that as the rule. If I don't say it, say with the majority rule and then give the minority rule. Say both. So if I say it's in New York, you're going to want to know that New York has a zone of danger rule. You'll know that. If I say it's in California, you're going to be Dylan V. Lake. If I say it's in an imaginary jurisdiction, you're going to want to talk about both. You're going to say the rule for the most expansive rule for bystander emotional distress is articulated in Dylan V. Lake, which is our four-part rule. The least expansive is New York, which requires zone of danger. You've gotten the rule out of the way. Under Dylan, and then you go into the facts. Under Dylan, our plaintiff was, under the Dylan rules, and then go apply the facts. Under our zone of danger, apply the facts. So state either rule and apply the facts to both to reach your conclusion. When I say apply the facts, it just means using the facts that have been given to you, how would you analyze the outcome according to whatever rule of law you're using. So don't just repeat the facts over and over again. I get people that just repeat the facts. I don't need that. I know those facts. What I want you to do is use the facts to analyze the problem to reach a conclusion. People ask me about case names. Do you need to cite cases? Very few of the cases that we use are famous cases or really articulate a new rule of law. So, no, you can do a very good exam without using case names. But some cases like Dylan, Roland v. Christian, some of the big famous cases, Paul's Graf and Polemus, you can use them as shortcuts to the rule of law. The Polemus case of direct consequences, the Wagenmann case of foreseeability. You can use those as shortcuts, and I'll know where you're getting the rule. So that's helpful. But otherwise, don't give me, as in Polemus, where the negligence was set on fire, the ship, where somebody dropped a plank. That's wasting your time. And I'm thinking that's not good judgment. That's not good use of your time. So get to the point quickly. Don't recite facts from old cases. Use the cases as examples, as rules, but use the facts of our current case to analyze them. Don't just repeat the rules, put them into the context of your analysis. Use the word because. Employ the facts in your analysis. So citing cases, case names, not important. You can write a very good exam without citing case names. When you're writing your answer, we have our elements. Go through the elements to get to the real issues. Suppose you come to something where there's a duty question. You decide no duty. May happen. Should you stop there? Well, if it's something that's a real issue where, there could be a difference, where it's a tricky question, don't ace yourself out of a good answer by talking about a duty issue and then saying, so we don't think there's a duty, we're going to stop here. Go on. Keep on going. You don't want to risk writing a good answer by stopping too soon. That's just acing yourself out of a good answer when, you know, your resolution of the duty issue, it could go either way. So just say, you know, it's unlikely that there would be a duty, for example, but given that unlikely occurrence, we're going to go on and talk about reasonable care. We're going to go on and talk about causation and proximate cause. It is unlikely that a question will be written that it's so clear that there's no duty. So that you should, again, don't ace yourself out of a good answer. Continue to go on and tell the story of the plaintiff, what happens to the plaintiff. Your answer should be written in a professional way. I'm always astonished when I see these casual answers using slang, colloquial language. It's not appropriate. This is a professional situation. You want to show your best. This is a time for you to show your best, not to write in such a casual, cursory way that the reader's going to wonder whether you're taking this seriously. There's a lot of times in class where we use humor just to liven things up, to, you know, just to pep things up, keep you on your toes, keep you interested. An exam answer is not the time for that. Keep your answer professional. Write it in full sentences. I don't want to see an outline. That's not appropriate. It's an essay test. You want to give yourself every opportunity to be seen in a positive light. So throwing things in an outline you start running out of time. Best to get whatever you get down. Maybe you get some points. But that will just indicate to the reader that you don't have good time management. If you start running out of time, always be alert to the time factor. This is an opportunity for you to test yourself under a very specific time pressures. I guarantee the final exams that you look at are very long, fact-intensive things. The best students finish them. I have had students say, well, is it true nobody finishes your exams? And I'll say, yeah, the A students do. Everybody else, you know, I guarantee that if you spend your time on unimportant non-issues, you'll run out of time at the end. So judgment is important, to be able to spot the important issues and get to them quickly and resolve them. I don't need a little sentence at the beginning saying, this is a cause of action for negligence. In negligence, we require duty, breach, proximate cause, and causation. That's a waste of time. Get to the point. First question to answer is, duty. That's getting to the point, but not a little essay. I don't want a little essay. It's not a history test, an essay on the development of negligence. No. You've got a problem. It has to be resolved. Do a complete answer. If there are a variety of rules, tell me the majority also, but also the minority. If you don't know which, we've talked about several of them. Give me both and analyze both. Proximate cause, you got to know Pulley, Miss, and Wagon Mount. You've got to know the rules, Rolling v. Christian, but also all, if they haven't adopted that, all of the other ones. So it's a matter of applying the facts to the rules that are available. If I want you to talk about specific rules, I'll give you a specific jurisdiction in our second quiz. I said it was in New York, but still too many people started giving me a little essay on the variety of visitors and trespassers and invitees and licensees, all of this kind of stuff. When I said it was in New York, New York treats them all the same. It wasn't appropriate to go into that. Again, it's a pretty big tip-off. If I tell you the jurisdiction, you'll know what's appropriate. If I don't say the jurisdiction, then it's, time to go into this. But not in a little essay. Get to the point, resolve it. You don't have to give me a little essay on what a trespasser is if the person's clearly not a trespasser. I don't want to know about it. Don't waste the time. It's a very time-intensive enterprise. So, again, when I say use your judgment, it just means judgment in time. Why is it time intensive? Because you'll have that pressure on the bar exam. Why is the bar exam time intensive? Because you don't want to waste, when you go out to practice, we don't want to waste your client's time. We're training you to pass the bar and to be good lawyers and not waste the time and money of your client. So I don't want to waste your time anymore. 22 minutes is enough for a podcast. Good luck on the exam. It's a practice exam. It can only help you. It can't hurt you. This is the time to make your mistakes. We've given you, we had two time quizzes and now a practice midterm, all leading up to our final, which is in less than 2 months away. So there's plenty of time now. Make your mistakes now. If you're going to make the mistakes, do them now and not at the final exam. And good luck.